Welcome to The Sober Effect, a show that looks at the positives of sobriety, the dangers of alcohol, and the many people who are affected by it. I'm Kate.
And I'm Steph. The ripple effect of alcohol is far-reaching, and those are the stories you'll hear on The Sober Effect.
So today we're going to talk about how sobriety can kind of take over as your identity, because I've started feeling after a couple of years that I talk about sobriety a lot. I mean, I only talk about it on Instagram. That's the only place where I really do talk about it, because I've got a job that doesn't involve sobriety. I've got kids, I've got lots of friends, and we go for walks, and we don't talk about the fact that I'm sober. We talk about other normal things. But actually, I have realized that there's a certain part of my day where I do just focus on the fact that I don't do something. And I'm starting to wonder if that's healthy. And it's a really good question, actually, because, you know, we've spoken about this, Steph, that connection is really important in early sobriety. And I absolutely believe in that. And I needed it. And it's essential, I think. I really think you would struggle to do this alone. I know some people have, but I would have struggled. But does there come a point where your focus on sobriety needs to lessen? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like if I compare to how much I talk about sobriety now to when I first got sober, it is different. Because I feel when I first got sober, everyone around me was always asking me about it. You know, like, oh, you're still not drinking, or how's it going? How are you feeling? All of that. And now it's become such a norm. I mean, over 2 years in, it's just not a topic with, you know, family and friends. It's just kind of like who I am now. Like, no one asks about it. It's like no different than when I go order a burger and say no onions. It's like, you know, I don't have alcohol in my glass. That's just what it is. And no one thinks twice, which is great, right? Because for me, that was end goal. Like, I didn't like the awkward conversation all the time about my sobriety or feeling like I had to like always explain myself. So in a way, it's great because now there's not that worry or that pressure or like people asking me about it.
And we have this podcast, don't we? So You've left social media. And that's quite interesting in itself around this, because we talked to Paige about the fact that some people get addicted to social media. You know, they find their sober group, they find their community, but then they get obsessed with building, you know, this kind of online presence. And I think you have to be really careful with that. So we still talk at least once or twice a week, don't we, about the podcast, about sobriety. So do you think that's enough for you to keep you? Because I think if you completely switch it all off, you would be in danger of potentially edging your way back into drinking. Because for me, the few bits that I post, you know, and I probably spend about 20 minutes creating a couple of reels. For me, that's enough each day for my head to remind myself why I'm doing it. But I don't think I'd want to do any more now. I don't want a career in sobriety. I don't want to be a sober coach. I don't think I'd enjoy talking about it all day. I think I'd run out of things to say.
Yeah, I agree. And stepping away from Instagram was probably one of the best things I could do. And we talk about it with Paige a little bit too in the episode today. But, you know, it became a job for me. It became, in a way to socialize without really socializing. Like, I think there's just this like blurry line there, right? Where as an introvert, it's great because it's a way to socialize without actually having to like get out of the house.
Yeah.
And for me, you know, a lot of people reached out to me, which is great because I have a really hard time like initiating conversation with people. And so it did something for my confidence as far as that goes, especially in early sobriety. And so I'm not bashing sober Instagram by any means. I don't know how I would have got through, you know, the first parts of my sobriety without that community. But it's when it started to become like this crutch, where I wasn't really spending time with actual people in my life because I was so, I want to say obsessed, but maybe that's not the right word. I was so concerned. I was so just infatuated with this inner world of social media that I created and this feeling of like, I need to. For people like I don't really know, like I've met you and like a handful of other people that I still talk to outside of Instagram, but I'm talking like I'm worrying about like the thousands of followers that I have that I don't know them. but I feel like I need to do something for them. And there was a lot of stress with that.
There's more to us than our sobriety. And I've recently posted a few things and just shared some information about myself, other things that I do, you know, and this latest thing I'm doing, which is working with women in war zones and giving creative writing lessons on Zoom. It's got nothing to do with sobriety. And I think it's important to remember that, because if you're part of a community, and whether that's AA or a sober group, Instagram, whatever it is, that's all you're there to talk about. And that's made really clear, because that's the topic, that's the niche, that's why you're there. But it's also important to remember there are other elements, and it's such a small part of my life, you know, and also I don't want to spend all day talking about something that I don't do anymore. Because actually, I think you're then still almost obsessing over alcohol. It's a really good question, because if you're talking about not drinking all day, you're effectively still talking about alcohol all day. So when you started your Instagram account and you've got a few thousand followers, did you ever think maybe I should move into like sober coaching or something? Was that something you considered?
I did consider it for like a microsecond, because I actually was a health coach at one time. So I thought, ooh, maybe this could be my niche, because I knew it was very important to find a niche of people that you can coach. But I'd also been down that route. And as you've gotten to know me, Kate, like I kind of just, once I've done something and I move on, I'm like moved on, you know, I'm just like, it didn't work before and it is a lot of work. And it just didn't excite me. But I think a lot of people will kind of understand what I'm saying with this, because I think this is what happens, is you do start thinking, okay, I've got a little bit of a platform going here. Like, people are listening to me. They want to hear what I have to say about sobriety. And people are telling me that I'm helping them. Like, they're DMing me.
Yeah.
So then you do start thinking, as any logical person would, how could I monetize this? Maybe I am good at this. You know, maybe there's something here. And I'm not saying that it isn't something there for people, but I think a lot of us just, we get wrapped up into it.
I think you're completely right, because you get that kind of like, well, people are listening to me. I'm helping people. Maybe I should do that. But I do think it could become a bit overwhelming if you're talking about it all day, every day. And I know 4 or 5 people who have completely burnt out, who were sober coaches or who were on Instagram and they were posting every day and they were liking, commenting for hours a day. The whole point of sobriety is to stop doing something damaging and start learning about yourself. And you're not like, how much are you really going to learn about yourself if you're on social media talking about the same things again and again? After a couple of years of sobriety, yes, you need it at the beginning and it's incredibly useful. But there does come a point when I think you need to focus on the other areas of your life. And actually, it's almost like you're delaying that from happening. If you just surround yourself with sober people in sober chat groups, you can't hear yourself anymore. It's kind of like connection's good, but too much connection can actually be damaging. So should we hear from Paige? Let's see what she's got to say.
So I was 5 years sober before I started my Instagram, and I started it because I found the world of non-alc and like how much it had changed since I was a bartender, since I owned a bar, and I was so excited about it. So I started my Instagram thinking I was a genius and I was the only one doing anything like it. And I started it to show people this new world and how they can continue to work with non-alc and be creative with non-alcoholic cocktails and still be a part of that community without alcohol.
Do you think your job as a bartender, and like you were probably heavily involved in the alcohol scene, that maybe played a role in how slowly that progressed for you to like change over? Because a lot of people, their identity gets wrapped up. Like, I identified as a drinker, right? Yeah. And I would imagine as a bartender, like there's a huge identity that comes with that.
My last bartending gig was in 2014. I got sober in 2015.
Okay.
So I think towards the end of my bartending, I was like, oh my God, the bartending wasn't the cause, but it wasn't helping. It was my entire identity, drinking. I woke up, I started drinking. I didn't stop drinking until I passed out forcibly from a pill. So I woke up to drink. That was it. So yeah, I didn't really, and I think part of my identity was drinking because I didn't know who I was. So I kind of made that my identity because I didn't have one otherwise.
That's so common, isn't it? And of course, as we know, it stunts your brain development. You don't sort of think, oh, I'm going to go and learn a new hobby, or I'm going to go meet some completely different friends doing something active when you're drinking, because you don't have the capacity to do that. And you've also got this close-knit group of friends around you who want you to carry on drinking because they're in that position as well. So it's very hard to break away. So once you did break away, then you went, you just got a completely different job and a whole different feel?
When I got sober, I left. So I was in New York, and I left New York to go to Florida to go to rehab. And when I was there, I was like, there's nothing left for me in New York. There's no reason for me to go back to New York. All of New York was to me was drinking. So I stayed in Florida for 2 years. I got a job at Starbucks. I worked there for a day before I was like, I can't do this. And then I got a job in a retail store. So really, like, my job hasn't ever been a source of identity for me. After 2 years in Florida, I went back to New York to study interior design, actually kind of hoping that that would be my identity. You know, I'm a designer, which took me a long time to say. My career never really became who I was.
I feel like this may be something people who get sober could relate to, because like you said, we have most of us identified as drinkers, had no idea who we were. And then I feel like sometimes we then get sober and we now wear that as this huge badge. Like, now I'm wearing the sober badge just as much as I was wearing the drinker badge. And then we start thinking, how can I make this even more ingrained into my life? Like, maybe I need to get a job that includes sobriety. Like, how can I help people in sobriety with a job? And I think that's where it starts to like kind of like take over.
Yes. I mean, when I was in rehab, every counselor that I spoke to was also out of rehab. I mean, they went through all of it, which I think is important as a counselor or as someone to have been through that process. When I was in rehab, I was like, oh my God, I want to be a counselor, because you're feeling so good that you just want to kind of share that with people. You want to make other people realize how good it feels.
And I think that happens a lot. I mean, there have been so many posts recently on Instagram, and we're all, well, Steph, you've kind of stepped out. Paige, you're not on it as much, and or you're kind of, you're change, you're shifting, you're kind of
always
persona
shifting.
On it.
Always
shifting. Why not? There's so many people on there who are kind of announcing that they're becoming sober coaches. And I'm literally left there wondering where there are enough clients for all these people, because it feels like 80% of the people I follow have become sober coaches. So what did you do then after you did the course in interior design?
I graduated right in the midst of COVID. I got a job designing carpets and area rugs for like large scale, high residential, very expensive rugs. So I was doing that. And my Instagram was kind of just like a side thing, you know, as it is for most of us, just something to do on the side for fun. Yeah, it was never meant to be a full-time thing, but it kind of took over as a full-time thing.
Why do you think that happened? Because presumably that's to do with your interaction with it as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, first of all, social media is incredibly addicting. Mm-hmm. I mean, it took up so much time. And then I started, okay, I have to capture everything. Everything I do needs to be related to sobriety. So when I go out to dinner, I need to choose a place that has a mocktail menu so I could write about it, so I could photograph it. My whole weekend was like, okay, I need to go to all of these events that are related to my sobriety so I can post about it, so I can meet people, so I can like force myself into this community and like become a source for people. So it was just integrating itself in every single aspect of my life. And it was becoming not fun anymore, you know? Mm-hmm. Like I want to go to dinner with my husband and just enjoy him and not have to like order every non-alc cocktail on the menu and take a picture of it before I get to eat and, you know, stuff like that.
It starts to like become this new form of validation, right? Like this validation of like, look at me, I'm still sober, like life is great. Like, you know, and then it does, like, especially for me personally, became more of a job, because I was constantly, like you said, what's a really good post? I really should make a post. Like, I got a ton of new followers this week.
Yeah.
Like they're going to expect to see something really cool from me. Like I need to inspire. And you just start putting all this pressure on yourself. That's not what it's about, right? Like, I originally got on sober Instagram to like be inspired and to support people. And instead it started to turn into this weird, like a new addiction for validation. And it can become a slippery slope.
Oh, yeah. Which is why now I go days without posting. And I'm no longer really going to meals strictly for content and, you know, needing to feel that, I guess, validation. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I don't feel that way about Instagram. I love the fact that I can, because I've got a million thoughts in my head every day. And I have worked in editing suites. I've worked in design and magazines. So I know how to edit reels and pictures quite easily. And actually, when I have an idea, it honestly never takes me more than 5 minutes to shoot it. I don't brush my hair. I don't look at what's the laundry in the background. I just do it and I post it. But because I do it that way, it doesn't bother me. And I do it almost as an expression of, it's for me, it allows me to be creative, because a lot of the time in my job, I'm writing about things like the Industrial Revolution. It's just so boring. And I've do that for 2 months. It will take me to write a course on that.
Yeah.
So for me, this gives me a chance to be colorful. And I did join it because I needed the support and I wanted to find a community. I don't need that anymore, but I want to give something back. You know, I switched off for a month this summer when I went to Africa, and I realized, actually, I am looking at things and I'm not really getting much from it, but I'm scrolling. And that's when I thought, this is quite addictive, this thing. And actually, I think it's quite damaging. And I, as you say, when you start to feel the pressure to post things and you make decisions about your personal life based on posting things for other people, you've got to stop, because actually that is incredibly unhealthy. And these people, you don't even know them. And their validation is giving you a like. It doesn't make you money. It's not changing your life. You're not genuinely helping a friend, but you can get completely obsessed.
It is certainly enough to make you lose your sense of, you know, stability just by constantly checking and checking. It's an addiction.
It's an addiction.
100% is an addiction.
It's like you swapped one out for the other, you know, and honestly, it is a distraction. And I mean, some people might not like want to hear this, but it's a huge distraction from your healing. Because if you're spending more time focused on other people, how much time are you really focusing on you? And sobriety is a time of healing. It's a time of identifying triggers and problems. And while I feel like in the beginning with my Instagram account, I did a really good job because I was fresh. You know, all that stuff was really fresh and raw. And I was really good at like writing about my feelings and like what I was going through. But then when you get further into sobriety and you've done all that, but you still want to like be able to do those type of posts, it gets a little bit harder and you get frustrated. But what you need to realize is that's actually a really good thing. Like as you're healing and getting better, then you should be able to start focusing on the next step. Like, okay, what am I interested in? What are my hobbies? What should I be doing? Instead of sitting on my phone and like making myself crazy trying to think of good sober content to keep myself valid in that community, you know?
Yeah.
So Paige, what do you think is a good way to balance different areas of your life? So let's say, forget the first sort of 6 months of sobriety when actually Instagram is an incredibly useful tool because you need constant reminders of people who are further down the line who are doing well. That actually, I think it's incredible for that.
I mean, I think for me, and I'm still figuring this out 8 years in, because you're constantly growing, you're constantly changing, you have to constantly reevaluate ways in which to kind of stimulate your brain, you know, your interests change all the time. I think for me, what was helpful was going back to my childhood and finding things that really interested me then. Like I was a golfer as a kid, you know, my dad would take me out golfing. I went to golf camp. So I'm not there yet, but I'm trying to get myself back into that. I really like crafts. I really like baking, you know, that was stuff I really liked as a kid. So I do that. I go to Michael's. I spend way too much money on crap. I think that is a good place to start. by going back to what really made you excited as a kid. Because what you said earlier also is like, it's emotionally stunting. So when I got sober at 25, I was still a 15-year-old, like totally emotionally immature, which I still have my moments. So I think going back is a good place to start.
What about setting boundaries on social media?
I've been quite fortunate where I haven't really had any bad experiences with people or any kind of drama or any kind of, you know, situations where I would need to set boundaries. But I think a good reference is like, what would you tell a stranger that you just met? And honestly, I mean, sometimes you're more willing to tell a stranger something than you are a good friend. But I think, what would you be willing to tell someone that you just met on the street?
I think too, what we can get caught up in is trying too hard to help someone else in their sobriety. You know, there's a lot of people who maybe rely on you to help them with their sobriety too much. Like, they're sending you direct messages daily. And if you're an empathetic person like I am, you can really start to feel heaviness around that. And you can start feeling like you need to check in on them. And then what starts happening is you're not even focusing on your own sobriety anymore. Like, you're trying so hard to help this other person. Like, you have to let people know, I can support you, but I can't help you. And yeah, you've got to recognize when things are starting to get out of your scope. The majority of us did not go to school to be therapists. You know, we can't diagnose, we can't help people. And a lot of people who get sober end up finding out that they have some mental health issues and things like that, that they were masking with the alcohol. And so you really have to pay attention to that, and you really have to direct people, and you can't put that on you.
I had one person that I would check in on quite frequently, and then it kind of, you know, fizzled out with time. Every now and then I'll still check in with them and say, hey, how are you doing? But no one comes to me regularly, and I will get long messages, and sometimes they're honestly too overwhelming for me to read, and it takes me time to get back because I'm not a coach. I'm just a person, and I'm not trained. So I will be upfront about that and say, I have no training, but this is me and how I see it.
Yep.
You know, this is how I experienced it and how I dealt with it. And I can only speak to that.
Yeah, it sounds like you already know how to handle these situations. Because it's true. You have to just be honest.
So tell us what you're doing now then, because I've seen you pop up. Have you been on television recently?
I was. I was talking about my event. So I do host several events focused on creating community around not drinking in Austin. April, I'm taking a break, because I got a little busy. So, and I thought it was important to give myself a little breather. I do a monthly trivia night at Sands Bar, our local non-alc bar. I do craft classes, things that I would want to do, you know, selfishly, but with other people. And then I do mocktail classes at Deer Dry Drinkery, our local bottle shop, dinners, happy hours. All sorts of things. Actually, I was on TV for a flower arranging class that we did.
Love all of that. You see, that is how to do sobriety properly. You've just moved. You live, is it Texas you live in?
I'm in Austin, Texas. I've been here a little over a year.
What's the sober scene like in Austin? I know that Austin
is
really populated anyway. A lot of people are
And
there.
I'm a contributor. Austin's sober scene is absolutely incredible. We have Sands Bar, which is the first non-alc bar in the country. We have Deer Dry Drinkery, our local, you know, mom and pop bottle shop run by my good friends. It's just so supportive. There's always something going on, which is why I said, like, I'm busy, you know, I'm busy going to other events. I'm hosting events and they're constantly full. Even the bars, you know, the bartenders, most of them who are sober, surprisingly, they're excited about the non-alc movement.
So lots of people say, how do you find people? And lots of people who contact me live in small communities in England or America, and they kind of say, I don't know anyone sober in my town. And we're not talking big cities. We're talking tiny little towns in the Cotswolds, in the middle of nowhere, where there are sheep running outside, you know, your front gate and your apple tree. I mean, that really does happen. What should you do if you're living like that and you are just desperate to meet even one other person? Because you don't want to meet a psycho killer. You can't just go online and go, I'm sober. Does anyone want to meet me for a walk?
Meet me here. Yeah.
Yeah, meet me here, I'll be alone, you know.
It's tough for me to say because I've always lived in busier places. But when I first moved here, I joined all of the Facebook groups. So there are a ton of Facebook groups like ATX Girls, blah, blah, blah. You know, you just have a niche, like find something that you're super interested in. Book club, join a book club. I mean, go and start your own. It's not easy. I mean, it wasn't easy for me. I suffer from, you know, social anxiety, even though I come off as kind of gregarious and outgoing, but like, it's not easy for me, but I just do it. I just have to like, take that first step and just do it. Put yourself out there.
Yeah, see, now I would just become friends with the sheep that Kate was talking about.
Start counting them and then just fall asleep.
Yeah.
But it's true. You know, and Steph, I think you're in the same position as me. Yeah. You don't have a lot of sober friends where you are, do you? And you can become reclusive. That is the main issue. And I think that's why people turn to social media and get obsessed with it, because it gives them a sense of community. They can sit on the sofa with their tea. No one's judging them. They can constantly comment. And they'll get feedback and they are interacting in a way, but there is such a need for real physical interaction and exercise, and you need to progress. You've finally got to the point where you're not putting poison in your body, but you need to do things where your phone doesn't come out. You need to do things where you're not typing, where you're actually seeing people and you're making genuine friendships, you know? And I think that's where people can get stuck if they're not careful. So that, I mean, I think your idea of Facebook groups is a brilliant one, because there are Facebook groups everywhere for every subject, every hobby, in every location. You will find some.
Sip and Paint and all those are centered around drinking. So I made my own. It's called Craft and Chill, where we do that and drink a non-alcoholic beverage.
Did you specifically say there is no drinking?
Oh, yeah. No, and we hosted at Dear Dry Drinkery, which is our bottle shop, and I provided the non-alcoholic beverages. So there was no chance for alcohol to be there. And even I hosted the flower extravaganza at a bar, and I brought my own non-alcoholic spirits to have behind the bar. Everybody got their own drink ticket. They could have 100% bought their own alcoholic beverage, but they had a ticket that was for a mocktail. Nobody bought a spirited drink. Nobody bought a beer. So I thought that was pretty cool. So I just take popular events that are centered around alcohol and then flip the script. An important part is recognizing that it's becoming your whole identity. I mean, for me, I was sober 5 years before I started my Instagram. And before that, it wasn't a huge part. I had non-sober friends. But, you know, when I started this Instagram, I only had sober friends. I only surrounded myself with non-drinking people, which is great. But sometimes variety is good, too, you know? So I think it's just important to always kind of keep reevaluating where you are finding yourself. You know, we are on a path to bettering ourselves, and it's a path. It's not one-stop shop. You have to keep kind of stopping along the way and saying, is this working?
One thing I want to comment on was there was a time where she was not hanging out with anyone who drank. And then now she does have people in her life that she socializes with that drink. And I think that's an important point to make, because alcohol isn't going anywhere anytime soon. Like, there is a movement and we are all really excited about it. But as we know, these things take time. And we have to remember, we were a drinker once too. We were once like, you know, fooled by that and thought it was the answer and needed it to socialize and all of that. So I think you do have to have a little bit of empathy. Find the ones that don't make you extremely uncomfortable when they drink. You know, you still have to have boundaries, but yeah, you've got to find a way to navigate through this life with alcohol around you. Like, I did the same thing. There was a long stretch where I just did not socialize because I didn't want to be around it. And that's fine in the beginning, but I think you have got to start building your confidence in being able to be around it. Figure out what you tolerate, what you don't tolerate, hold your line, and find a way to coexist with it.
And it gets lonely. I mean, it's kind of being around people who drink is different to being around drunk people. And I think I always go home when people start getting drunk, you know, or I go to bed if they're at my house and I just say goodnight. But you're right. And I think it is important because, you know, I don't eat meat anymore, but I wouldn't ever say, well, I'm not going out for dinner with anyone who's going to eat meat. And I know it's slightly different because it's the behavior. And if you're in a position where you are triggered by people drinking, of course you shouldn't. But once you get to the point where you're really confident in your sobriety and you think, I'm not going to drink, I know I won't. And actually, it doesn't bother me when other people drink. And that's the key. Some people it does bother. Some people I know won't let any alcohol in the house. They won't let anyone in their house if they've had a drink. I have really changed my friendship groups, and I've changed what I find interesting and the people I want to hang around with since I've become sober. And it's been interesting to see. But actually, if I started putting up boundaries and saying, I only want to talk about sobriety or be with people, I would be blocking off a huge group of people who are really important to me. And I don't want to do that.
Right.
You can adapt. You can do different things. You can do things during the day. And I just think, for me, there is a balance. And I think that's the point of this episode, is that there is a balance, and it's quite easy for that balance to get too heavy on one side because you get very excited about being sober. You get very excited when you find the sober community and it helps you, and then you help other people, all of which are good things. But there comes a time when you need to realize, maybe I'm getting a bit too obsessed with this. And I also need to be seeing these other people, meeting new people. I need to find these new hobbies that I haven't had because I've been drinking. And you can't do that if you're constantly in groups or talking. And I don't want to sound like I'm discouraging it, like you said earlier, because I'm not. But I do think it's important that you go out there and spend some time away from your devices and away from the sober community as well, because you don't want to just hang out in those communities for the rest of your life and that's it. You have to grow. You have to do that on your own.
Well, because, I mean, we're an addictive bunch, right? And, you know, we went from getting our dopamine and all of that from the alcohol. And of course, our brains are automatically looking for that next thing that's going to fill that void that the alcohol was filling. And so it's very easy then to use social media. It's a great way to numb out without using alcohol. I mean, think about it. You can lose track of time scrolling through Instagram reels, through the feed itself. I mean, I know that's what I was doing. And here, this is what people can kind of start. Like, if you are really wanting to like determine if it's becoming an issue, here's how I did it. I was trying to be very deliberate when I would get on. Okay. So I would tell myself, we're only going to get on if we are in need of some inspiration, like maybe we're just feeling we're wanting a drink or whatever, or we have something very important we want to post. Okay. Those were my rules. What I would find myself reaching for my phone in moments of discomfort, boredom was probably my biggest discomfort. Didn't like being bored because I've never had to really be bored, right? If I was bored, I'd just start drinking. Like that's just how I did it. So I realized this was becoming my new alcohol, right? Because here I am, I'm bored. So I'm reaching for my phone and scrolling and I'm getting nothing out of it because I'm literally scrolling so fast because I don't know what I'm looking for. Because remember when you're a kid and you're like so bored and you're like, Mom, what can we do? Like, I don't know what to do. I'm so bored. Like, that's what it reminded me of. Like, I was trying to find something on that phone to take away the boredom. So that was like one of my first clues. And then it was just any uncomfortable feeling I noticed, I was reaching for my phone to soothe me. And that was like light bulb moment for me. I'm like, okay.
And I think also working on who you want to be, because I used to say, if you asked everyone who knows me to give 3 words to describe me, they'd all say wine or alcohol as one of them. I don't want people to say sobriety as one of my main traits. I want to be sober, but I personally don't want that to be a defining factor in my life. Some people will, and that's great. And they'll make a career of it and they'll put their time and effort in and they'll help people. Fine. I don't want that to be me. I want to move on from that. And I want to keep my toe in and I want to keep helping people. But there is a limit of how much time I should be spending. And I really like your advice on that. And I think that's a really good one, unless you've got something important to say or you need some support. But otherwise, I don't want to give up 2 hours of my day scrolling through stories that aren't actually benefiting me at all. Sobriety will always be really important to me in my life. And anyone who wants to talk about it, I'd be more than happy to. And I will bring it up if there are drinks. But other than that, I'm finally free of the stuff and I just don't want to talk about it all the time.
I did have a drinking dream though last week, which was really bizarre. I haven't had one since the beginning It was really bizarre. But anyway, I just don't feel, the need to proclaim my sobriety like I did in the beginning. And I think the point of this episode is to kind of, for anyone that's in early sobriety that listens to the podcast, so they can see, like, it's not going to have to be like this all the time. Because sometimes it does feel like, oh my gosh, is this life now? Like, am I always going to have to keep myself in check and like constantly be getting on my support groups or whatever it is that I go to? Am I always going to need them? No. And you'll know when you're ready. Sobriety is a time for self-awareness. You're clearing your mind of all the clutter and you're figuring out your triggers and you're figuring out new ways to like ease that and hobbies and things to do and just stay the course. Listen to your gut, listen to your intuition and your feelings about if something's starting to just not feel the same as it did when you started, and trust it. Thanks for tuning in. We're just two women from opposite sides of the pond striving to shed light on the negative impacts of alcohol. Quick heads up, we're not licensed therapists or doctors. If alcohol is seriously affecting your mental or physical health, seek professional help.
And don't forget to hit that follow button to catch all of our future episodes. If you think our podcast could make a difference to someone you know, share the love. And hey, leaving a 5-star review will really help the Sober Effect reach more fantastic people like you. So thank you.